Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is the podcast on the Imitation of Christ. And the Imitation of Christ was written by an incredible holy man named Thomas A. Kempis, who lived in the late 1300s and early 1400s. Actually lived all the way to 1471. Thomas wrote a book about how to follow Christ and how to deal with the struggles that we deal with every day. In fact, the first chapter is called On the Imitation of Christ and the Vanities of the World. But I'll get to that in a second. I want to tell you a little bit about this book. It's second only to the Bible in popularity, and it's just laced with scriptures in and out of concepts that are in scriptures and early church fathers. For the mystics, it's a mystical book. For the aesthetics, it's an aesthetical book. For somebody like me, it just satisfies my thirst for what is ailing me when I am in meditation and prayer. It helps shock the soul into a better way of living, into a better way of following Christ. In that sense, this book can never be finished. You can never plumb the depths of it. It's a supreme call, a guide to spiritual satisfaction, says Father Bentham, who was one of the translators of this book. A little bit about me. I'm a husband of 24 years and father of 7 children. My wife Donna and I live in Springfield, Illinois, and we are doing our best to imitate Christ in our daily life, our work life, our public life, and our private life. I pray to the Holy Spirit for guidance and enlightenment, and I think that's a good practice to get into. Some people say that when you read this book, you should only read one chapter a day. There are 4 books and then multiple chapters in each book. Each chapter is very short, usually a page to 2 pages, maybe 3 at the most. And in that sense, what I'm doing in this podcast and in the blog that accompanies the podcast is breaking this down, trying to take some of the concepts that Thomas talks about from the 1400s and bring them into the 2100s. The fact is, the struggles that they faced back then are the same struggles you and I are facing right now. And that's all right. That's the human condition. So let's get into it. Let me talk about chapter 1. If you go out to my blog, which is thomasakempis.blogspot.com, I take each paragraph and break it down, give some examples, give you the text, give you some scripture that either emanates from the text by a direct quote, or perhaps it alludes to another text. And I try to put some fun pictures and a questionable humor on there as well. I hope you like it. If you do, let me know. And if you don't, let me know. Always open to suggestion. So here's what chapter 1 is going to do. It's going to compare following Christ to giving into temptations of the world. Thomas calls this vanity. There's a call in the first chapter to imitate Christ in our life, our thoughts, in our manner of living, in order to see God face to face. In fact, the whole book opens with this quote: "He that follows me walks not in darkness." Now that's from John chapter 8 and verse 12. It's a very curious quotation for lots of reasons, because if you read the blog post on this, I go into detail of where that scripture comes from and how it fits in to the rest of John chapter 8. So go have a look at that. The temptation away from this path is always self-absorption, namely vanity. Vanity, a lot of times we just think of as looking in the mirror or being in love with ourselves, and that's true. But vanity can also be holding too tightly to our sophistications, be these in our knowledge, our prosperity, our property, those kinds of things, our favorite fleshly desires. One of my priest friends calls this our favorite sins. Think here of sloth and greed, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, along with maybe too much food and too much drink. That's what vanity is. Now, Thomas never says that we should or shouldn't, can't or couldn't, be smart or wealthy or eat well, etc. But rather, he says we shouldn't be smug about any of these things, and we shouldn't pursue these things instead of pursuing Christ, pursuing a holy life, pursuing good deeds. Thomas lays out examples about scholarly people and how those compare to the simple. And when I mean simple here, I don't mean simple-minded. I just mean people who are maybe not so learned. Thomas points a bony finger at those people who spend too much time debating on the virtues of the Holy Spirit and yet refuse the gift of the Holy Spirit altogether. The other thing that he does is he talks about people who memorize scripture and sayings of bright and brilliant men and women, great philosophers, but at the same time reject God's simple offer of love. God doesn't require us to memorize scripture. Is it a good thing? Sure it is. Do you have to do it? No, you don't. From here, Thomas goes into Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2. If you haven't read the book of Ecclesiastes, it's 12 chapters. It's in the middle of the Bible, right next to the book of Psalms. Fascinating book. It opens with, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity, except the love of God and serving Him alone." Now, I truncated that quote a little bit. The true quote is, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Thomas added, "except to love God and serve Him alone," which is the conclusion that Solomon, or Qohelith, came to in his 12 chapters. Thomas says this is the highest wisdom, rejecting the draw of the world and turning our attention to heavenly kingdom. Thomas then lays out a PowerPoint of categories for us. See, this is very modern, this 600-year-old book. He says, vanity can be an unhealthy seeking after riches, after unhealthy ambitions, after the daily struggles we all face of the flesh. He asks you a question, asks me a question. Why have a long life if you can't lead a good life? Thomas says we should slow down our pursuits, but hurry to the joy offered in imitating Christ. Thomas wraps up chapter 1 with another quote from Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 8, which says that we are never satisfied with only those things we see and hear. We want to do more than just see and hear them. We must therefore devote our heart not to the visible, those things seen, but to the invisible. By redirecting our attention, we gain God's grace. What are the action steps? What am I going to get out of this? How do I apply it to my life? What is consuming you? And are you consuming it? In other words, what's taking over your spiritual attention? It could be anything. It could be, again, too much sex, drugs, and rock and roll. All those things are good in limited quantities. The other thing is, how can you improve your humility without being a doormat? A lot of times we think of humble people as being doormats. They're really not. Some of the most powerful people in history have been very humble. Think of John Paul II, Mother Teresa, Gandhi, and so on. They were humble people, but they're also very powerful. The pursuit here, by the way, is not for power, but rather humility. Just a reminder. The last question I have is, what one thing is getting into your way of imitating Christ? So a lot of times, the Holy Spirit will prompt you to do something, and usually we say no. I would offer to you, it's a good idea to say yes. Just as an example, just a very, very simple example. You got $5 in your pocket. You're walking down the street. You see the Santa Claus collecting money for the for Christmas in the Salvation Army kettle. You got $5. It's burning a hole in your pocket. You're headed to McDonald's or Starbucks to get that coffee. That's the Holy Spirit reminding you of that $5. Take the $5 out. Put it in the kettle. You won't regret it. So that's the end of the podcast for today. Check out the blog, thomasakempis.blogspot.com. I'm going to spell it for you, thomasakempis.blogspot.com. Thanks for praying with me. Till next time, be imitators of Christ.